more of Willie Italian. Begins now. We need to get to our guy, Justin Garcia, because it is Dame time tonight for game two of the Bucks series with the Indiana Pacers. All right, Tausch, to put a bow on this so we can get to JG.
I think, Jesse, correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't have access to the YouTube comments for whatever reason, and I don't have Carbliss talking text line in front of me. It feels as if most Packer fans are Team Jason on this. Is that fair?
Yes. I think most Packers fans are Team Jason. Many are pointing out Jason's very appropriate critique of Goody while still saying he wants him as the GM. That's been the unanimous theme from the majority of what I shouldn't say unanimous, the majority theme from what I've seen in the fan feedback, which is interesting to me because I think a year, maybe 2 years ago, there were many more fans who would be on your side of this conversation, Tausch, where many were in support of Goody and, you know, how gutsy it was to move on from Aaron Rodgers, and it worked out, and everything he touches turns to gold. And that narrative has definitely changed, and you've remained rather steadfast compared to others in still your strong support of him.
Do you trust him? Do you trust Goody this weekend that this is going to be a better football team because of what he does this weekend? Do you trust him, Jesse?
Yes, I trust him, but I don't have blind faith. How about that?
Okay.
But yes, overall, I trust him to do the right thing for the team.
Okay.
It's kind of hedgy. Sorry.
Yeah, no, everything's hedgy. And part of it is, Jason's right. I mean, this is a nuanced conversation. And I know he doesn't like predicting and doesn't like doing. I get all of that. But there comes a point where you just look at it and say, has he built a roster that is good? Because the playoffs, we all know, stuff happens. You have good teams. I think general managers build their roster to try and win a championship. And the best way to do that is to have a great regular season and then be ready to roll when you get there and have young talent that develops and is better at the end and then some veterans that know the game and in critical spots that are going to get it done. And Jason said, well, he hadn't won a championship yet. That's the ultimate trump card. That's what you're judged on. And why that is the case, there's a lot of reasons, but you've had some really good opportunities that there were plenty of players that had played better than what they did, including our old MVP quarterback on a cold night against San Fran, that it didn't happen. And all you need is one, and you get your name and up at the stadium, and you get a road named after you. And it hadn't happened for Matt LaFleur either. So it is complicated. I think Goody's last couple of drafts, there's a lot of question marks because they got put in a position where they had to reload after a all-in. You don't want to call it that. It's what it was. That's what they did. And to reload and have seven seed, great look at it against San Francisco, and then last year was disappointing, no doubt. That's why it's not blind faith. It's looking at what has happened. And it's been pretty doggone good. It ain't perfect. There ain't anybody perfect in that business. But it's been pretty good. And for people to, they shouldn't have blind trust. No, verify. And if you don't, and you have a bad season, then you have to start making decisions based on what you're seeing. It can't just be, well, I like him, but he got to do it. At some point, it's got to happen. And if it doesn't, we're going to be looking at 16 seasons where there's not a championship going through title time.
As I kept listening to you guys debate this, the thing I kept coming back to real quick is the phrase, don't let good be the enemy of great. You've said that before, I think, Tausch. That's been one of your things. And right now, I think Goody and LaFleur has been really good but it hasn't been great because they haven't gotten to a Super Bowl. And that's the thing that I keep coming back to as I wrestle with this. Like, Goody's been really good. Everything's been good. But 7 seed, winning one game in the play, like, that's all good. Like, that's sustainable, but it's not great. And if we think everyone on this roster is capable of being great, then what they've assembled is not good enough.
So, last thing, so we can get to JG. Yesterday, Goody, one of the things that I really enjoyed, and I hope tomorrow we have some time to go through some of the stuff he talked about, because I thought he was really interesting on a number of things yesterday. Now, I thought his answer about RAS scores was interesting because he claimed that they don't use them. But then, if you listened to the full answer, he basically said they have their own version of RAS scores.
He said he'd never heard of it.
But we use analytics that measures all
GAS.
Yes.
Goody's athletic scores.
Right.
Gas them
so
up.
So that was part of it. I want to get to that. But he went through a part. He was asked about John Eric Sullivan, who interviewed for multiple GM jobs, didn't get them. He's back with the team. If they were to be the 6 seed and win and not win a playoff game, they punch out, lose to the 3 seed. And you know this because he went through it. He talked about Schneider and McKenzie and Dorsey and Scott McLuhan, all these guys, Elliot Wolf, all these guys that were there and now have been GMs or are currently GM-ish, right? Is it possible that as John Eric Sullivan, one of his best friends in the world, one of his right-hand men, along with Milt Hendrickson, the pride of Pecatonica Argyle, is it possible that both of them are sitting there and maybe sometimes Goody does things or doesn't do things that they would do, right? Being in the second chair or the third chair, you know, if you're the offensive coordinator, maybe there's times when Steno's like, God, I would have called this there. And Matt called this, right? And it's not being a jerk about it. It's just you have your own ideas and your own opinions. You're a
Absolutely.
Different person.
Yep.
I do wonder if somehow there were people in the building or Ed Policy taking over and having a preference, if they would change their GM by just moving on from the current one and putting one of those lieutenants in charge instead. That's largely what happened with Ted, right? Goody was one of his right-hand men, and then they gave Goody ultimately got the job. I'm not advocating.
Oh, no, then you got Russ Ball fired before you got him hired.
I would say Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers did. I was just the vessel for that information. But, yes, whatever. My point is that I don't think Goody has done a poor job. So don't put me in that category. He does not need to be fired. Don't put me in that category. My critique of him is there may be one or two moves, because every GM misses on picks. Everyone does, even the greats. Ron Wolf is in the Hall of Fame. He missed on plenty. Maybe there have been one or two moves that would have made the difference between being in a Super Bowl and not. I don't know that. There are certainly some coaching decisions that may or may not have been the difference between being in a Super Bowl or not. There are certainly some plays made by the quarterback that were the difference in being in a Super Bowl or not. And my only argument is we can't just say it's the coach and we can't just say it's the quarterback. We have to acknowledge that the general manager could have done something different too. They all could have done something different. So there wouldn't be this 15-year drought in between Super Bowl appearances. I think that's fairly reasonable.
All I would say, that is a very reasonable and I think nuanced talk. And I agree with you with the exception of 2020. There is nothing that Brian Gutekunst have done that would have cured what happened there, other than keeping David Bakhtiari out of practice and not blowing his knee out. That's it. That team was a championship team built by Brian Gutekunst, and sometimes luck just is a part of it too. There is nothing. He did everything you would have wanted him to do that season to put that team in position. They should have won. They didn't. And so goes the old fart in the wind conversation that Ron Wolf had. It does come back to there is luck that is involved in this, too.
There's no luck involved in your drafty windows. Just be smart and make the switch and call Gina Della.
There's a lot of buzz about that big old draft up in Green Bay. You're not going to find any draft seeping through the windows from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. In fact, you should make Pella your number one pick. Because right now you take advantage of no interest financing options, or you can get free glass upgrades. Their talented designers and installers can match your home's unique decor through seamless customization. Certain restrictions do apply, and this deal does end on April 30th. So place your free in-home consultation today at pelletwi.com.
Justin Garcia has been waiting impatiently, I'm sure. Our Bucks buddy joins us next to talk Dame time and playoff time. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Minutes late, we get to our Bucks buddy and game two of the first round playoff series between the Bucks and the Indiana Pacers. I wonder if he's got an intense rivalry with the Indiana announcers. It is Justin Garcia on Wildy and Tausch. JG, how you doing?
Doing good, guys. How about you?
I have that same on-air sign up above our little studio here. I don't have quite as cool of a hat.
You're going to say hat? Like, wow.
No, no. Grateful Dead, I know you're a fan. Pearl Jam ahead of Grateful Dead or Grateful Dead ahead of Pearl Jam for you?
Oh, man. I think they're neck and neck.
Oh, yeah, what are you, like me?
When I was a teenager and, like, early in the 90s, not to date myself, but just coming into my own as a youth, Pearl Jam was my band, and like begging my parents to take me to see them at Summerfest, and I saw them a few other times. I saw them at the last show at the Bradley Center, so they're probably my number one group, but Grateful Dead is who I listen to the most.
Mm. Okay, that's an interesting way to divine that answer. Dame is back. Back again. Dame is back. Tell us why this is so great, our friend.
Not bad.
Thanks.
Not bad. We'll see. So here's the thing. It helps you immensely, I think, when you look at the usage in game one and what the Pacers' strategy was we kind of wondered, how do you approach this? Do you say, we'll give Giannis anything he wants, we'll take away the shooters, and we're going to help on those guys? And What do you do here if you're Indiana? And they just made Giannis work and said, we're not going to give him those outlets. If he scores 40, he scores 40. Bucks aren't hitting threes. Damian Lillard helps you change that gravity and gives you more trusted shooters, especially in those minutes where you have other guys that are going through shooting struggles. We know the Pacers are going to sag off and dare guys like Kyle Kuzma to take shots. Mm. You're not going to do that to Damian Lillard. So in that sense, it helps quite a bit. But I would just caution, too, it has been 35 days since we've seen Damian Lillard play in a basketball game. It is one thing to be in shape. It's another thing to be in game shape, and especially game shape that goes up a level in the playoffs. I mean, it's remarkable in itself that a guy is back after 35 days from blood clots. So I do think we need to temper the expectations that this isn't just a Dame is here to save us and he's going to score 40.
Mm. So what is he going to be limited-wise? Is it going to be
just trying to figure out
20
his prize
minutes?
Picks.
No, I'm not doing my prize. I can't put JG
well,
in that
I said
spot.
21 and a half minutes.
About a point a minute.
But, I mean, how much are you expecting him to play tonight with the conditions you just laid out? Where he has, I know he's been practicing a little bit, but serious injury, 35 days. It's not going to be a full freight tonight for him, even though it's obviously a critical game in this series.
I wouldn't assume. I mean, I always kind of felt once we started to learn more and more, and last week when we got the news, he's cleared and he's going to return at some point in this series. I always assumed it would be game two because of the breaks that you had in that series where you get 2 days off between one and two, you get another 2 days off between today and game three. I would, just to play it safe, I would assume he's around 25 or so minutes. I'm not sure if you start him. I haven't heard anything from guys that were at practice earlier today and what it looked like there, so I'm still curious to see do you kind of manage his minutes in that sense and bring him off the bench to pick those lineups you have him on the floor with? Because I think the big takeaway from game one is at some point you do have to heavily consider some type of change to the starting lineup. And I think even beyond Damian Lillard, because that may complicate things even more with your defensive matchups. I'm not trying to say you're better off not having Dame, but I think once you reinsert him into the starting lineup, I do think you have to reevaluate the guys playing next to him because of who's taking on who. And you're playing Kyle Kuzma and Torian Prince out of position. So I do wonder if you kind of wait to pull all this out at once and you bring him off the bench and then you unveil a new lineup in game three, or if you just rip the Band-Aid off now and say, we're going to watch your minutes, you're starting, and we'll try to keep it around this number.
So what do you think, JG? What would you do if you were in charge?
Coach,
what do
JG.
You expect? Yeah, what are you thinking? You obviously have something on your mind. Yeah. What are you thinking?
Well, knowing Dame and knowing that most times when I've tried to make some type of prediction with this team this season, I've been wrong. Mm. I'll say that he does, in fact, start this game. And I think... And it's not just Doc Rivers, and that's kind of been the tiring discourse around this team is like, well, Doc Rivers doesn't play young guys or doesn't make adjustments. And the whole tiresome argument over starters, I mean, I will acknowledge the starting lineup struggled quite a bit in game one. And by the numbers, they've not been your best five-man groupie, but it is more important who closes games and who is playing more minutes. And I think you can't make an argument against Doc Rivers. He has played his best players more minutes. I think you can maybe say, do you need to look into more minutes for some of those guys? Sure. But that's the big thing for me. And knowing that, and again, not just Doc, most other coaches, you're not going to full-on panic after one game and say, we got to change everything here. So I would assume they keep it as is for now, and it's just Damian Lillard starting in place of Ryan Rollins for game number two. But, you know, we'll see if that solves the spacing for Giannis and gives him another shooter that's out there and limits some of the things Indiana's able to do. Or if we see more of the same, and then you have to really consider, do we need more changes than this?
It's a tough break for Ryan Rollins, Tausch's favorite buck.
Well, you gave him a nickname that I didn't recognize. Kuz, not great. Not great, Bob, on Saturday. Well, and you heard Doc saying, well, I got to get him more involved. Bup, 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 bup. Where are we at with Kuzma as far as, you know, he obviously needs to be better than what we saw.
Yeah, I think that's where we're at now. He's got to be better than that. And
dynamite drop, Monty.
I do think there's a lot to what Doc said, too, that there are moments where you can look at what Indiana was doing. I mean, what, Giannis drew 10 fouls in the first half, I think it was, and you could see midway through the first quarter, he was attacking, and he was getting to the line, but he was gassed, and that was part of Indiana's strategy is we don't trust the other guys. Make Giannis take that on, and not only does that help us defensively, it hurts the Bucks defensively because it takes away from Giannis's defensive ability. So I think you got to look for more minutes to get Kyle Kuzma going off of curl screens, get him attacking and going down the floor. You know Indiana's going to give him any shot that he wants in terms of a jump shot. So you got to look for other ways to get the ball in his hands and get Kyle Kuzma attacking, not only to get him going, but to get Giannis a bit of a rest offensively.
Talking with Justin Garcia, our Bucks buddy, ahead of game two tonight in the Bucks series with the Indiana Pacers. If Damian Lillard is Damian Lillard, are the Bucks a better team than the Pacers?
Well, I picked the Bucks to win the series, and I still think the Bucks are going to win this series. They're very close, and that was coming into this series why I think I was on an island saying, you know, I think I, regardless of what happened in the regular season, I think I'd rather have the Knicks than the Pacers. Mm. We've kind of quietly ignored how good the Indiana Pacers have been since losing to the Bucks, where they blew a, 17-point lead on New Year's Eve. They have been one of the best teams in basketball since January 1st, and their offense is not to the levels it was a season ago. Their defense is much improved, so I think the Pacers are a deeper team with more trusted postseason players on their roster than the Bucks. But I think Giannis makes up for a whole lot in the series. And to your point, if Damian Lillard is there, I would give the Bucks a slight edge over the Pacers in terms of who is the better team, but I think these two teams are close when healthy.
All right, Justin, the times that we do talk Bucks, we seem to devolve into the concerns about the future, especially if they lose this series. All I want to know, because we're not going to be able to predict the future right now today on April 22nd, but as someone who has been around this team for a very long time, who is an expert on this team, are you worried at any level? DEFCON 1, DEFCON 5, where I always get those mixed up. I think DEFCON 1 is the worst. About the future of the organization and the future with or without the Greek Freak if they lose this series. Because I think there are fans of our show and perhaps a host of our show that at least have some level of concern that if this goes poorly, we could be witnessing the end of an era. Do you have those concerns or not really?
I mean, it's not anything that keeps me up at night. I'm not oblivious to it.
What
it's,
does
it's
keep you up
Giannis,
at night?
It's any player.
Garbage. You know what, honestly, not garbage lot. Picked up. Well, if the garbage doesn't come, that probably keeps you up.
Good one.
Not so much that, just if there's garbage around the house and having to deal with that. Yeah. No, I mean, I don't, this isn't a cop-out answer, but I don't choose to go through life waiting for the worst case scenario and assuming that's the case. I mean, to your point, that discourse has been out there, but I would also say we don't have to engage with it. You don't have to deal with the conjecture
and
the tiresome.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Does this mean Giannis is going to leave? I mean,
clickbaity.
And look, I get it. It's not from afar. If you lose in the first round three straight years, we know this is a player movement league, that's the natural assumption to make. But for whatever reason, that's been the assumption made with Giannis more than any other player out there. If Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets lose in the first round after having just fired their coach a month ago and have serious health concerns about Jamal Murray going forward, wondering about some of the secondary guys and are these guys good enough? Are they to the level they looked 2 years ago, similar to things the Bucks dealt with? Are we discussing Nikola Jokic asking for a trade to leave the Denver Nuggets? I haven't heard any of that, so I don't know why it sticks to Giannis. I mean, I get losing in the first round 3 years in a row versus losing in the first round once is a different argument, but there's other things that have happened with other teams. That would be my piece of advice is, yes, it could happen. Most anything could happen, but I don't choose to spend my time wondering and worrying. Yeah, Luka, who saw that coming? But it's no
joke
to
the Bucks.
Is this the last game I'm going to see Giannis play in a Bucks uniform? Like, who wants to live like that?
Homer.
Nobody. Jason does, though. He keeps asking
about
it.
Stop.
All right. Well, you did. Tonight, a must win?
No. Okay. Your must win is when you face elimination.
Yeah.
Oh, stop that.
If the Lakers lose to the Timberwolves tonight, it's over. It is.
It's not over. It is not over. The Lakers still have the best player in that series. It's not over there. And
who is it? Doncic.
The other thing is, look, it's
you let him speak.
It's certainly not ideal to fall down 2-0, but you come back home. It's a much different story to lose your first 2 games on the home floor and then go on the road. So it's not great. It's a big hole to dig out of, but it's not a must win tonight.
Okay. All
JG, sorry we got to you late. Thanks for always making us smarter when you come on the show. We appreciate you, buddy. Have a good one.
See you guys.
That is Justin Garcia. You can hear him on the
minutes.
Bucks Radio Network. What now?
For Dame. What was it, 19 and a half points?
Yeah, 19 and a half on Prize Picks. Yeah.
That seems like a lot. I think Halliburton will bounce back and have a bigger game. All right, I got a little smarter. I feel like I'm a little smarter from that. Although Jason trying to go all clickbaity is Giannis. Is this Giannis' last series as a Buck? Can see JG shot that down quicker than you could say, well, you know what, Jay Bird.
Yeah, I'm the one on the panel who brings that up. It's Dame time.
It's Dame Time tonight.
I didn't bring it up.
Not you today. Did. Not today. You did not bring it up.
Okay.
It is Dame Time tonight, and it's also Dame Time on season 4 of Behind the Bucks, the podcast that is presented by Gallagher. Explore Bucks superstar Damian Lillard's unlikely journey from a 2-star high school prospect to a top 75 player in NBA history. The series, which is narrated by senior NBA insider Chris Haynes, reveals exclusive details of Dame's trade to the Bucks and his experience with the team. Find Behind the Bucks on bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, and wherever you get your podcast. Behind the Bucks, presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR and benefits consultant. We have more clock to chase. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
I'm not even sure we have enough time for Whoa Nelly, but if we do, here it is.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, "Mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide."
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Whoa Nelly
on Wildy and Tausch.
Beck and I finished a show, 8-episode miniseries last night on Netflix called The Residence. It's a murder mystery show, and it's one
hotel
of those,
movie?
No, it's one of those like fun murder mysteries. Like, there's some language in it, so it's not entirely suitable for like all ages, but it's really good. Very well done. You have to pay attention to everything. I will assert the murder mystery that's like the fun murder mystery like that.
Like Clue?
Yeah, kind of. It's very Clue-like, yes. It takes place at the White House, and so like all the different rooms, they call it the blue room, the red room, the yellow room, and it's like, what's the murder? It's very Clue-like. I think the quirky, fun murder mystery is the greatest genre of any TV shows or movies.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
You got a prisoner of the moment.
No,
you know.
I love them. I love that one. I love Murder on the Orient Express.
Blacklist.
Only murders
you love
in the building.
Blacklist is good, but that's also like it keeps you guessing all along. It's a little different. That's my favorite show of all time, but I think the best genre is the fun murder mystery. Tell me I'm wrong.
I think you like I think comedy is the best, and I think that's what you think too.
No, I'd actually put comedy pretty low.
Okay.
I like dramas more than comedies, but I love the whodunit, trying to figure it out, like sitting there. Becca hates it when I'm like guessing, when I pause the show. I'm like, I think it's the butler now. I think this is how he did it. And she's like, just play the show.
The problem with that is, listen, man, I'm not going to tell you what you should like and what you shouldn't.
You just told him what he does like and what he doesn't.
I know. And then I backed off because Jesse, I think Jesse believes that in his heart of hearts. You get no character development in those shows. None. It's a one and done, and then it's over. Which is fine, but give
me
character development
in comedy.
No, there's more character development in dramas. Which is, I like a good drama. I like a good comedy. These are kitschy. I love murder mystery parties. We used to do murder mystery parties a couple times a year. They're fun.
We're doing one for the Hall of Fame induction ceremony.
Yeah, we're still working on putting ours
for
together.
Wildy and Tausch.
But that doesn't mean that's my favorite genre. It just doesn't. So no, I'm going to disagree vehemently with you.
On what you like.
He didn't tell me what to like. He told me what he knows I like.
Yeah. Oh, I'm aware.
That was a unique twist on not telling me how to think.
That was a new one for Whoa Nelly. I can tell you this. I like David Gruber, and I like that they support our show at Gruber Law Offices. And I hope that you never actually have to call him and his team and make that one call. That's all. Because that means you haven't been injured in an accident. But if you have been injured, you need the best team in the business on your side to make sure you get what you deserve. So make the call.
One call, that's all. 414-276-6666. 414-276-6666. Gruber Law says one call, that's all. Go to the website, gruber-law.com, to find out more. We'll wrap up today's show. We're not playing end of show trivia.
Aww.
We're not doing it. We're going to do double Wisconsin geography trivia
We're
tomorrow.
Do triple tomorrow, probably. Draft coming up. Oh, boy. Okay, Captain.
We'll wrap things up next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
We're on the Packers.
You still want to see that steady play, that steady improvement, and you didn't get it from Jordan Love?
Because we're on Wisconsin Sports.
That just makes the stakes that much higher this season.
Nobody covers the green and gold like 100.5 ESPN. I'm a hazard to my.
Our guy Alex Strofe is live from the Tundra Trio coming up next and will be so all week long. I was up on the fifth floor at Lambeau, which I think the last time I was way up there was when you and Ryan Longwell posed for pictures for your Hall of Fame induction, and
nice.
We did a little press conference. But you got a great view from above, almost like being in a on like a drone, being able to see how amazing the setup is going to be at our Tundra Trio for all the ESPN radio programming and for our programs on Thursday and Friday as well. Strofe is there now. He's coming up next. That's why I didn't want to get into trivia and not start his show until 12:10. So that's it for us today.
I mean, it is called Mr. Irrelevant. If we wanted to play a little trivia, we could.
I wonder if he'll discuss whether Brian Gutekunst should be fired or not on his program. That's it for us today. We will do it again tomorrow. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on the ESPN Wisconsin app.